Test 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Test 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So, you know, we're sort of doing the same dance here. Test 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. We're sort of doing the same dance. I mean, I've got the pot there, and I've got the other things here and there, and that's where that's at. The phone's there, here, 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 and here. All right. Where is it, man? What? All right. Yeah. All right. Out of sight. Okay, this is the pre-show, which will be very short because we know what we're doing. And what are we doing? We're doing a week of tribute to a very, very dear man and a great broadcaster and a guy who took our, you know, he took our satire in stride and dug it. He's a bigger man than me, I'll tell you that. Art Bell. There he is right there, Art. I was thinking about Art. You know, he looks, I'm very serious. He looks he looks like my late friend Paul Compton. And has the same kind of personality, kind of low-key, and very, you know, sort of moderate in temperament, and curious, and looks like him. Now, Paul was about an inch taller than me. Paul was like six, I'm 6 foot, he's 6'1". Art's big guy. Art was, I'd say, about 6'3". And, but I saw a picture of him as a young broadcaster. I wish I could find it now. I don't think it'd be that hard to pull up, but it was in the 70s when he was talking about being in rock radio. he looks exactly like my late friend Paul. I'd forgotten that we were all that young once, you know. It's funny when you see a picture of yourself and you got a baby face. You're like, what the fuck? It's been a long time since I looked in a mirror and saw that, man. So we have some really great bits tonight. We have four. We pulled, I hadn't thought about this. 1, 2, 3, 4. Good Lord, wait a minute. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 5 bits. I had not thought about the Art Bell bits. I always assumed that they were close to an hour, like they were an hour treatment, the kind of the same way we would do a character hour, but they weren't. They were 10-minute, 15-minute. They were like, well, you know, little one-off bits we did in the hour. We had always had 1 hour left over that we didn't really want to put a character in. We wanted to just hang with the audience, but then I didn't really know how to hang with the audience without doing character voices. It was pretty sad, but nonetheless. That's what the Art Bell bits served to do. And they never would have been, you know, on the air at all were it not an easy thing for me to do, you see. Now, one thing I did promise to tell you was why it was we canceled the Saturday cinema. And I promised to tell the general audience, which I will do. If you want me to wait, I'll tell you now. And I'll tell you honestly, this part I will not give to the general audience. So if you run out there telling people, it's on you. But the movie we picked out looked like a real funny movie. It was like, you know, it's like Sex Madness or Reefer Madness. One of these cautionary tales, badly done, real stupid in a modern context, and just not, you know, getting it done. And it was called Child Bride. And Child Bride took place in the Ozarks with a cast of actors. It wasn't a documentary. It was actual, like Sex Madness was, an actual teleplay or whatever, screenplay. And Child Bride ostensibly was a movie about something that is a problem. It's a problem today. And that is marrying underage girls to men. You know, in other words, committing them to a marriage, to a basically a life of, if you want to be get down, a life of slavery, because they're married, legally bound to this man. And a lot of it today has to do with religious sects and cults and shit like that. Back then, it was just the way of the Ozarks. That's how it's painted in this movie. Now, we thought that would be funny. So I went into my character of General Jameson as well as Dave Oliva, and we did the movie and got to a part that was, it kind of shocked me a little bit. It was, there's a, one of the principal characters is a 12-year-old girl, and she's, has been, you know, trying to stay away from this old man that wants to marry her, and her mother's trying to keep her safe, and like half of the town, you know, they don't dig it. The other half thinks it's what she should do. Her father, I think, is against it, and her dad's one of these old grizzly hillbillies. I tell you right now, I cut his head, he cut his head off, you know, and these guys are just, and if you look at the promotional poster of the day, they make the hillbillies look like they're monsters. You know, like, remember the old posters in the 30s? There'd be Frankenstein and there'd be Dracula. Well, in this one, it's like a hillbilly, but same monster, you know, same. So in this one scene, the girl is off with the one of the little the boys, and they're off in the woods walking their dog. They decide to go swimming, and she goes in naked. And they don't show her naked outside of the water. They show her in one of those Hedy Lamarr, whatever it was, Hedy Lamarr shots. You remember the early 30s? You could see her kind of underwater. And I looked at this and thought, okay, it's just she's sort of swimming and you can't really. But then there was a scene where she stops cold in the water and she's talking to the boy and it's a front shot and she's naked, man. So we finished the movie, and General Jameson and Dave were like, oh, Jesus H. Christ, what the hell is this? You know, doing their due diligence in putting the movie down. But after I got done doing the movie, and I had written up the show log, and I had done a little bit of the, you know, we downloaded some images and so on and so forth, I just got to thinking about it, and I said, no, you know, I can't do it. You know, it's not humorous. It's that movie, even though that scene was only about 2 minutes long, that movie did something that today, I dare say, would get the producer in a lot of fucking hot water, if not run the fuck out of the town, showing on purpose underage female nudity. So this is a comedy show, and it's a comedy website, and such as it is, you know, and the last thing we want to do is, I don't need that kind of controversy, man. I don't mind controversy having to do with dumb shit back there in Washington. I don't mind controversy having to do with a lot of things, but there's some things that I don't mind any controversy where I am defending it from a position of conscience. I don't defend that from a position of conscience. It's abhorrent, and fortunately, I say fortunately, it's from the 30s, a time before that kind of thing was considered even a problem. You know, they had other problems then, man. They were just getting around to VD, you know. All right, let's just, first of all, let's just not go blind from VD. And then drugs, okay, have we got that? Yeah, and then how about race relations? Got that. Oh, yeah, then the other, domestic violence. I mean, God, the 20th century was a great century because we dealt with all that shit. Or at least we started to deal with all that shit. We started to deal with all of that shit. Gay people, minorities, immigrants, everything, and even underage child abuse, sex abuse, and in the subsequent to that, I read some reviews, and even the review I read said at the time the movie was supposedly educational, which more or less gave them, and it did, it gave them the license to show nudity. You could show nudity in the cinema in the United States in the mid, from the mid 20th century on, if you could make the case that it was educational. That's why you have movies called Dr. Sex, you know. Remember we showed that? Yeah. You know, I'd like to show you what couples do. You bullshit. Then they show, you know, like five or six chicks shaking their tits in a topless bar. This is Dr. Sex. I'd like to show you the resiliency of the female breast. Oh, and that fucking movie. Now, that movie, Diary of a Nudist, that had underage nudity. And I looked at that and I was like, all right, now where are we at with this shit? That movie was not sexual in nature. Although, no question in my mind that the producers, that was their intent. But they stayed far away from it, and they kept in the lifestyle aspect of it. And man, that's the only thing that saved it in my mind. And probably I wouldn't show that movie again. And when I reflect on it, there was the opening scene where there's a bunch of adults sitting listening to an older nude guy. Everybody's nude, including two or three obvious adolescents. And they're all listening to this dude talking. There's no genitalia. You see women's breasts, and the guy's talking, and the whole movie's about, yes, the nude lifestyle was one that we dare not say the name of. You know, it's whatever. So we show that, but you know, I wouldn't do that again. But it ain't like I'm gonna go scrub it out of the archives. This flick, no way. Anyway, that's why we didn't show it, and that's what we're gonna say to the audience when we do the thing. Now,
now then.
Okay, so tonight we've got General Johnson Jameson in Area 51. We also have Art doing Phil. That's a very famous one. We're going back and we're chronologically taking the chronological journey of the Art Bell bits. Last night started December of 99. Almost 20 years. Another, well, I don't know when it'd be. 18 years. This starts tonight. We start in April of 2000, and we wind up in November of 2000, but there's a lot of stuff going on there. There's April 18, June 8, July 31st, September 19th, November 2nd. So these were almost sort of every 6 weeks, it seemed like, we did them. And I remember when we did them, it was generally because somebody on the staff said, either Jonah or Mike or somebody said, hey, you haven't done Art Bell in a while, you know. So that's where that's at. All right, man. I'm going to turn this off. I'm going to try to get my shit together. Is that this? Oh, Christ, it's still Midnight Express.
Ah! Help me! Help!
Oh, yeah, this is from I remember the movie now. Who's this guy? Giorgio Mordor. What's the guy's name? I can't remember. I'm too far gone mentally to give a shit. Wait a minute. Where's that other one, man? The something of gold? Oro. Is gold oro in Spanish? Yeah. I'm not gonna look for this. Fuck it. The Endless Game. Man, who are you fucking with now? No, okay. So what I thought I'd do tonight is start things with the chase.
All right, man.
Fuck. H-I. There we go. That movie was so fucking whack. And the judge, the Turkish judge, wasn't he played by, like, I thought it was an American actor that I recognized. But the Turkish judge was sort of sympathetic, remember? Let me tell you what you have to do, this big ugly motherfucker. That was every dude's nightmare back then. You know, when I saw that movie in 78 or 77, Midnight Express, you'd heard stories about guys getting arrested in Europe and particularly in Asia. And a friend of mine had got back from Morocco in the Peace Corps, and he pretty much, you know, without having to go to jail over it, pretty much confirmed, oh, yeah. He says, you Christians don't, you know, you white guys, Christians, they don't get to do shit. And I say that knowing full well that there are certain aspects of the audience that will go, see? Yeah, okay. it's a little different, and I'd be happy to explain it, but I'm not going to do it right now. But anyway, he said, oh, yeah. They catch a cat, you know, a Moroccan with a fucking slab of hash or something. Whatever, but you, your ass is in fucking prison, man. Don't even worry about it. Because they figure, what are you doing down here anyway? Down here to corrupt our kids, down here to corrupt our women. And what are you doing fucking around with drugs down here? You can do that up in the States, wherever you're from. Now you're down here with your goddamn drugs. Yeah, but I bought it from your people. I don't give a shit you bought it from our people, you know. And right away you're a drug dealer. So it's, you know, and everything down there in Morocco, anyway, according to Rich, was like, it wasn't easy. Everything was a big fucking hassle. You know, he went looking for charcoal one day to have a barbecue. That was a major, you know, I'm looking for charcoal. You're looking for charcoal. Well, isn't that interesting? You're looking for charcoal. Well, do you have any? I might. Where are you from? From America. Oh, America, yeah. You know, I've been wanting to visit Texas. I mean, seriously, shit like that. Not that he, you know, got anybody any visas or anything. Not that I know of, but that movie, I saw that movie, I'm like, God damn it. Remind me never to get caught with anything. And I had a girlfriend. I say girlfriend, she was a girlfriend, not, you know, somebody we all knew. It was Paul's sister-in-law. And she had traveled to Thailand. She'd been all over the fucking Far East, hitchhiking, hanging, doing all her shit. And got a job, literally got a job, flying into North Korea with cameras. Cameras. Okay, I think it was North Korea, but she had to cross a couple of borders on foot. And these cameras were then taken by the Koreans, and then they were transported to China or some shit. Or maybe she flew into China, that was it. She flew into China and then transported these cameras into North Korea. Because North Korea is tight as a fucking you-know-what, right? Oh, yeah. And I said to her, are you nuts? She goes, well, yeah, you know, now that I think about it, but it was pretty good money and this and that. I mean, she went backpacking in Thailand. They got fucking jumped. They got fucking mugged on a hiking trail in China, in Thailand, going over the border into, I think, what do they call Burma now? What the fuck's Burma called now? They used to call Burma something else. Burma. It's called Burma. It used to be called Siam. Anyway, yeah. Then she showed me these pictures of huts that she rented, a hut that she rented on the beach in Thailand for like something ungodly, like $15 a night. Absolutely, unbelievably gorgeous. You wouldn't believe it, man. You could kick at this place for as long as you want to for $10 a night, and it's a beach and the ocean. And, oh, yeah, you know, and soft beds. But she wound up coming back here because everybody knows this is the greatest place on earth and so advanced, and got a job, like, working in a supermarket. No, I don't know. No, she didn't. All right. She actually married a very nice man. She married an educator and didn't have to work. Okay. Let's do it, man. Let's do it.
From Podcast One and the voice of the American people, it's time to fight back with Barbara Boxer.
It's so hard, I think, for the average person who has to get up in the morning to follow this
stuff.
Hold
on, hold on, hold the fuck on.
Solvable. All we have to do is look around the world.
Whatever. Hold on, man. Test 1, 2, 3. Testing 1, 2, 3. Testing 1, 2. Testing. Oh, you motherfucker. Test 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Hi. Testing 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 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 See, that's two. Testing 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Testing 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Testing 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Testing 1, 2, 3. Judy, Judy, Judy. Your eyes are green. Testing 1, 2. Testing 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Hi, it's Phil Henry here, and we're going to do this. Okay, now we're going to do this, motherfucker. Hold on. Well, check this shit out here, man.